Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Scott Simmons Podcast. We're so excited to have another fun episode here today. And our topic today is actually an interesting topic. There's an article I read about a couple weeks back, which talked about kind of how you may have some like of your consistent church members that would come to church before the pandemic. And now after the pandemic, we're either A, not seeing those same people coming back to church who were very consistent in prior to the pandemic, but then also maybe you may see some who their church attendance, which was very consistent before the pandemic, has been sporadic. So Micah and I are going to kind of weigh in on that discussion and talk about it. But first, Micah, how have you been doing? How was your Easter?
It was risen. No,
It was risen.
for those who are listening to the audio version of this, Scott has a t-shirt on right now that says he is risen,
If you're
RIZZ.
YouTube right now, I'm just lowering my camera, and that's the shirt I got. I spilled coffee on it, so please excuse that. I feel
Look,
like
I
in
need.
old age, I just spill stuff all over me.
Where did you get that shirt? I want one now.
I bought it. I saw it on my TikTok, and I'm like, oh, so I clicked the link, and it took me to an Etsy shop. So I actually have the link. I'll send it to you, Micah, in an email, and then that way you can
On
get
my
different
own.
colors. You can get different colors, like a light blue, more pastel colors.
Got it. Anyway, what was your question? Easter?
Easter, how's your Easter?
That's good, man. We shared a couple weeks ago on this show that I had struggled with anxiety and had some really bad mental health issues over the last 6 to 8 months, and we haven't been able to go to church physically a lot over that period of time. We've gone a couple of times, but not much. And so yesterday we were actually able to go, and I was okay, and it seemed, to be fine. And it was a really good service. And there's a church about, I don't know, 3 blocks away from us, First Baptist Church here in Trenton. And would love to have Pastor Tim on the show at some point. He's just a wonderful communicator, loving human. But anyway, spoke a really good word, and his message was called "Had It Not Been," and it was basically just illustrating, had it not been for the grace of God through my life, where would I be today, right? And so, like, what has Jesus saved you from? And it was just a really good word. So, it was cool to go to church and not be on staff, and just especially on Holy Week. How was yours?
Easter was good. We have a contemporary and traditional service, and both services were pretty packed. For the contemporary service, because our lead worship person was out, my buddy Dalton was leading worship with his acoustic, and then our
Did you play
bass player.
drums again?
No, we have a drummer, and I'm thank God he's great. But our bass player was out, so then I filled in on bass, and it was great. We had a great service. It was kind of one of those services because the fifth Sunday, usually the fourth and fifth Sunday, I'm the person who does like our children's moment time before the kids go off to their children's church, and so it was just a lot because I had to, since I wasn't going to be up in Sunday school. I had to make sure we had enough crafts for everybody, get the rooms all taken care of, get my teams. And then, of course, we had a family Monday Thursday service that we did that I led, helped participate in the Good Friday service. And then we had Easter's two Easter Sunday services, and then taught confirmation class that Sunday in between services. So it was like the Olympics of, it was the Olympics of Easter for me. But yeah, it was good. It was all good. And I got to bust out my pink suit and wear that. So that was good. Yeah, I can't complain. It was a good Sunday. And then afterwards, it was nice. I got to sit and relax. And my father-in-law was in town, so I got to hang out with him. And it was a nice day, so I got to take the kids to the park and got to play and everything else. So not a bad Sunday. So before we dive into our topic, story's gone wild, and Micah, you have told me that you have one that is to die for.
You're playing me up, my friend. So yesterday, speaking of Easter, we were at church and Pastor Tim was preaching his message, and he like was kind of in the crux of the message, like in the middle of it, and was really kind of building towards the end. And he was talking about how Jesus kind of appeared through the walls, like he just walked through the wall, after he had risen from the dead. And he's like, man, I can't wait to see that. That'd be so cool. And he's like, I would do it right now, but that would be really stupid. And so there was a guy in the audience, and I don't know if he had Tourette's or if he had some sort of learning disability or some sort of health disorder where he was just kind of what is it where you just kind of you're really outspoken, and is that Tourette's?
Tourette's can be where you just like shout things real loud. Yeah. Because
Okay,
you can, it
so
can
he
be a
was like,
verbal tick or it can be an audible tick.
So he, and I'm not downplaying this guy's illness or anything, but like so Pastor Tim was like, he's like, man, I'd walk through the wall right now, but that would be kind of stupid. And the guy was like, yeah, as loud as he could. And everybody in the congregation just lost it because it's the pivotal point of the message. And he was like, thank you. Thank you for acknowledging my point. And he just kept on going.
Yeah.
But it was perfect, right? Because
Oh, yeah.
he's like, I'd walk into the wall, but that'd be kind of stupid. And the guy was like, yeah, given the fact
Yeah.
that, we're in the flesh,
You thought
right?
LA Knight was in the audience.
That's
Yeah.
the Well, that's where my mind went. I don't know if anybody else thought that because I'm one of the few wrestling fans I know.
Yeah. Well, and those moments as a pastor are just so good. I remember when I preached down in when I was preaching in Cortland, which is like in the Youngstown area. I was preaching. I was kind of at like the climax of my sermon, and I was just like, are we going to live good lives for God? Or I said something like kind of like one of those big moments. And there's this little kid in the audience that goes, "Yes, I about lost it." And I just lost it. They're like, "Wow, that was awesome!" And I just lost it. I'm like, "That was good." Like, the enthusiasm of children.
Yes.
Yeah. So when I'm kind of thinking about the topic today, I'm kind of going back. I may have mentioned it before on a previous episode, maybe the last couple of years. But when I think about like the oddest or weirdest Easter experience I had as a pastor, it had to be the Easter of 2020. That had to be probably one of the most unique and oddest Easters I've been a part of, because I'm literally was preaching a sermon to an empty sanctuary, except for like one of my elders who was like running the live stream. Like, that was it. And I had to like that my mindset was, I'm gonna preach like this place is packed, and I'm just gonna kind of ignore the fact that it's empty. I think even we had the lights on, but I think we had the, but I think we turned down the lights in the sanctuary down, so it was like a little bit dark, so it didn't throw me off. And then all it was just me looking at my notes and staring at the light on the camera, and that was really all I had to do to kind of get through that sermon. And I think what was kind of the odd part of what I think what makes that now odd so many years later is I had to go back and look at the YouTube comments or look at the Facebook comments to see my congregation say, "Great message, great service, good job, pastor." And it's like, oh, I don't get to physically shake someone's hand or see their smile or everything else. So, that was weird. And then the next Easter service was even weirder because it was outside at the park. And we probably had at least a whole over 100 people there, because the church was great as far as getting the word out. Hey, we're having Easter service. This was kind of like when we're kind of hitting that other high hump. So things were kind of the maybe shutting down again. And I think the government didn't say you had to shut down, but they're saying, hey, try to not go into indoor places where there's going to be a lot of people, where COVID could spread. or don't go, what do they call them, super spreader events. Don't go to a super spreader event. So we went out to the park and we had 100 some people, which was great. It was a great service, except that Friday, I sent my resignation to the Board of Elders right before Easter.
Good Friday.
Good Friday. I just got to a point where I was done.
Oh, I think
And
you had shared that before, right? Like,
I
I
did share that
mean,
before. And I mean, it wasn't necessarily, and you know, I think half of it was just I was exhausted, I was tired, I was burned out. But I think the other thing is there's just some stuff going behind the scenes that really was just rubbing me the wrong way. And I just felt like, you know, I put in all this work and I put in all this effort, and all I'm doing is getting, you know, I'm getting shade thrown at me for me trying to do the best I can through a pandemic and trying to lead this church and try to get them through this pandemic. And it's just like constant dealing with stuff. And it's like, you know, I'm done. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. And I think, you know, in hindsight, that probably wasn't the best because everyone was very excited Easter. And I remember I had one church member tell me, you know, we were so excited for Easter. And then we got your letter because then I sent letters out to everybody in the church, letting them know that I was resigning because we never had, because barely anybody showed up to church even when we were open up. And it was like, we're concerned. Some people were concerned with their health and COVID. So that was okay. I'm not throwing shade on that. But you know, people are very excited about the Easter service and they're very excited. And then Monday they get the letter saying that I'm resigning. So it's kind of like I just kind of sucked the wind out of their sails, which in hindsight, I'm like, oh, that was probably not the best way to go. But you know, that's how it was. So it was like, you know, emptiness to, you know, a park that's packed with people for Easter. And yeah, it was just like a weird, it was just a weird, that whole 2000, 2021, 2020, 2021 was just an odd, with Easter has just always been strange and odd for me. So yeah, so that's my kind of my story's gone wild, just kind of as it relates to Easter. Except for me spitting my coffee all over the room when I was teaching confirmation yesterday, because my co-teacher made me laugh. I just did a spit take and spit on my coffee. But that's another story for another time. But so today, again, like I said earlier at the top of the episode, we are going to be talking about why people haven't been coming back after the pandemic. It is 2024, so we are, I guess we could say we're 3 years removed, because even in we're still dealing with stuff in 2021. But yeah, 3 years removed. And you know, like I said, you know, both services were packed for Easter. You had a packed service for Easter, but it kind of almost seems like at least the article that I read, kind of the point was is like, you know, you have people who are starting to come back to church, but what the author of this article, what he was saying is, you know, there's a part where there's certain people, the people that you could count on, the people who are there every single Sunday, the people who were very committed, and you find out that A, they're not there every single Sunday now like they used to be prior to the pandemic, or B, you haven't even seen them at all. You don't know what happened to them. You're just like, where is this person? So that was kind of the opening of that article, and I thought that was an interesting topic to talk about, you know, the pandemic. And even though we're so removed from the pandemic, we're still not seeing a significant amount of growth of people coming back to church. And I know Easter and some of those big like Holy Week holidays, you know, that's when you start to see like an influx of people, but just your regular church service, you don't really see much. So Micah, what are kind of your thoughts on that? Like I have you, I mean, again, you've been, I mean, even with yourself, with you dealing with you know, with your mental health stuff, you know, you know, haven't been at church barely at all. Maybe you're watching stuff online, but you really haven't been participating. So what are your thoughts on kind of this phenomenon, I guess, if you want to call it a phenomenon?
Phenomenon.
Yeah. Or phenomena. Do, 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 do.
No, I was, a couple of days ago, actually, I was scrolling through TikTok and there was like a news clip from 4 years ago, and it was talking about how the country 4 years ago on that day shut down, right? And the world shut down. And I just remember, like, I mean, we all lived through that. And there's not one person on this planet that didn't experience in one way, shape, or form the pandemic of COVID-19. And I just remember, like, a couple of things, right? This I'm getting to the point of your question, but like reflecting on kind of what happened then as opposed to now as we've journeyed through that time period of 4 years. I remember being at work at Miami, and that was right around the same time that I was getting the news that my contract wasn't going to be renewed. So like my boss came in, and it was like March, and there had been some like rumblings of it, but like I was like, man, this ain't gonna happen. There ain't no way. Like there ain't no way we're gonna get sent home, right? And so I remember that the next day that my boss came in, and she was like, "Get your computer, go home. We don't know when we're coming back." And it was just so bizarre. And then on the other side of it, I was working in a church bivocationally, and remember, I left Miami, went home, took my stuff, and just threw it in the room that I was gonna set up as an office, the room I'm in right now. And I remember just having to like get back in the car and go to the church, and we had to film a bunch of videos, like because I was the video guy. And so like we filmed videos of the pastor announcing that we were gonna not have church for 2 weeks, and then we filmed a bunch of promo videos, and then decided that we were gonna do live stream only. And I remember that Sunday, man, like we were we went to click and go live, and the whole world was on the internet that Sunday trying to get online and trying to live stream, and Facebook was crashing and YouTube was crashing and all these host sites were crashing because they couldn't handle the bandwidth of folks that were streaming online, which was insane because you would think that as many years as social media and live streaming had been a thing, they would be able to handle such a thing. But it just proved that people were trying to do church online. And that was before we realized, hey, let's just pre-record stuff and upload it later, and then you could schedule it out and then not have to worry about doing it live and in real time. And that's what we ended up doing for the next like 2 years. But fast forward to 2024, I had made a conscious decision to step back from ministry in 2023, and we were, I don't want to say church shopping, but we were visiting different churches. I was filling in if needed. I was doing consultations and things like that, going into churches and just offering advice. And we had finally found a church that I really liked attending, and which is the one that we went to yesterday. And then it kind of this anxiety thing stopped me dead in my tracks, and I barely could go to work, barely could leave my house. And then by the grace of God, therapy, medication, I'm way better now than what I was. And so, yesterday being Easter, I was like, I really want to go to church. I really want to just, and there's been periods where I've tried to go to church and I just can't because of the anxiousness. Now, to answer your question, in a post-pandemic world 4 years later, and why I think folks are not coming to church, or folks are coming to church left off less often, or churches or folks are just not coming to church as much as they used to, I would say that, like, just from my own experience, like the idea of the oversaturation of content out there, where you can get the gospel, or you can get church online, or you can pick up your phone and have the Holy Bible app and it reads it to you. There's daily devotionals on there. There's, motivational, inspirational words on TikTok of different speakers and pastors. There's, YouTube, there's Facebook Live. there, and I'm not making excuses, but like there's just an oversaturation of video content out there that, like, in my own experience, there's a priest who has a podcast that I follow, and it's like the Bible in a year. And so he does a devotion and a Bible study every single day. And so I listen to that every day. I try to. And so it's great. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be in community, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a part of a greater, bigger body, but like I think that's probably the number one reason is that, we couldn't go to church for a reason. So we brought church to you for another reason. I'm sorry. We couldn't go to church for a reason, but we were able to bring church to you in a brand new way and reinvent the way that we did church. And so people were like, all right, I'm just going to do that instead. What do you think?
So I ended up finding the article while you're talking. It actually comes from Christianity Today, and it was written by Hannah McKellen on September 26th of 2023. And what's been interesting is they interviewed 100 or 1,164 Protestant pastors, followed by 17 focus groups and 9 in-person case studies. And kind of the reason why is very complicated because there doesn't seem to be a clear explanation from the survey. Some of the pastors that participated in this study, some of them have said that, well, people left because of disagreements over the church's health policies. Churches who decided to stay open and not close their doors during the pandemic, and churches who decided to close their doors and do online and try to be sensitive of that factor. Whatever choice you made as a church leader, there are people who didn't like that choice, so they left. Other pastors say that it was because of other disagreements, mostly over politics. For some people, it was that they moved. They moved out of the area, mainly because either A, cost of living got so high that they had to move out of the area that they're living in. Because of the pandemic and because of inflation, and or they moved because they got another job. They may have lost their job due to the pandemic, and then they got another job that caused them to move out of to kind of move out of state. And just kind of even reading, the other part they noticed in the study was that rural churches were probably hit hardest, with a lot of them reporting a 64% decrease since 2020 in attendance, where kind of your I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, it was the suburbs or the big cities had a 64%, where your more country churches barely saw any changes at all. So that's pretty significant if you have lost 64% of your congregation. I know the church I'm working at now, one of the big issues when I got there was that the previous leadership, because the pastor who's there now at the church I'm working at, the lead was has only been there for a year, when barely a year before I got hired, was probably only there for like maybe 8 months. And kind of the story I was told is that the previous leadership, when the pandemic came, they said, okay, we're shutting everything down. The governor of Ohio says we're shutting everything down. We're shutting everything down. And then they proceeded not to do anything. No live stream, not even a phone call to congregations just to check, do wellness checks or check on people. And they lost about 60 families because of that. And actually, recently I was talking with, I was talking with someone from the church, and we're just kind of talking about stuff because we have consultants that have been coming in, and every 15 years the church always has consultants come in, whether they're thriving or they're not thriving. They always bring consultants in every 15 years just to see, okay, how has our community changed? How has the church changed? What can we do? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are our opportunities? So we go through this process, and I was just kind of talking with somebody, and they mentioned, and I kind of mentioned that, and just as someone who's new, still relatively new to this church, and One of them said, one of my brother used to attend here and they don't anymore. And he said one of the main reasons was simply that it's like, I just felt like the leadership just didn't care. Didn't even care about me or even make the effort to just give me a phone call and just say, hey, how are you? You doing okay? How can I pray for you? Like nothing. And I'm, and I feel like that was a shocking thing, especially when I watched a Barna. There's a special Barna free, I don't know what you would call it, a special or something where they're looking at data for the last couple of years after everything shut down. So in May, I'm watching this and they did this survey in March and April of 2020. And one of the key things, one of the shocking statistics was the question was, is during the pandemic, has a person, a church staff member, reached out and contacted you? And it was less than 20% said yes, my pastor had came and talked to me. And it is what it is. It's disheartening to hear stuff like that because as a minister, at least for me as a minister, caring for your congregation is part of your duties. Writing sermons is part of your duties, especially if you're a small church pastor or you're a pastor that has limited staff and you don't have like a pastor of care and encouragement that does all your visitations and stuff. Like if it's on you, you gotta either A, do the work, or you gotta delegate the work to other people, to your elders, and say, hey, check in on these people. I'll try to check in with everybody, but you kind of here's your group. And that's what I did when I was at my last church. I said, hey, here's the phone book, here's our church guide. You're gonna take A through C, you're gonna take D through F, and broke it down and said, I'm gonna try to contact everybody. I'm just gonna work my way down the list and try to talk to people and try to get down there. But it's your guys' responsibility to just make sure you're constantly checking up on them because I'm not gonna be able to check up with all the members of this church within a month and do all the responsibilities I have to do as a pastor. So I really need you guys to kind of be that constant contact while I kind of be the supplement as I'm going down the list of all the people in our directory. And we were able to do that. And I think from that, we didn't really have a lot of people who kind of just disappeared or left during the pandemic because they knew that the elder board and me as a pastor was contacting people through all that. And we were doing that even before Barna came out with their stuff. That was like one of the first things I said, hey, we got to do this. And that's what we did. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, it is discouraging, because of that. And I think the idea of how people responded to the pandemic, whether they open up their doors or shut their doors, I mean, it's one of those things where it's really nobody's fault. You know what I mean? It's really nobody's fault. That because of whatever decision as a church leader you made, whether to keep your doors open or close your doors during the pandemic, to either say, well, this is what the government says, so I'm going to do what the government says, or says, screw the government. Whatever choice you made, there's going to be somebody who is going to get upset.
Which was super weird because as a staff member, I had to be there every week anyway because I was filming and producing and doing all that stuff anyway. And so it's like, well, if I can be here, but like, and I understand like we couldn't get large groups of people and whatnot. And it's like, it's very muddy. And the whole thing is just really muddy. And like, back to your point about, calling people. I don't know if I mentioned this on this podcast, but like I have a friend who was a pastor out in Missouri, and he and his staff kind of did the same thing. They printed a spreadsheet out of everybody that had been to the church in the last 5 years, and you take this many, you take this many, and you take this many, and we're just going to call people, love on them, and check on them and see how they're doing. And not that this is what that was about, but he said that giving actually went up as a result of people reaching out on his staff to the lay people of the church. And it was like, wow, they give a crap about me because I'm not there. And so, and not, again, not that it's about just the giving piece of it, but like, it's, it was encouraging to see that, like, oh, because you care, we're going to continue to care. So, I also kind of find it ironic that, like, something as simple as picking up a phone to check on people, is kind of a lost art form. And during that season of definitely, you know, the season of uncertainty, like, why wouldn't you pick up the phone and call your congregation? Especially if you're in smaller churches, like, you don't have that many people to call. Like, I mean, you know, you could be a solo pastor at a church, and you could be in office hours, and you could still go to work and, you know, be at the church by yourself, and, you know, you could just pick up the phone and call people. You know, another thing I thought about was the fact that nobody really knew when it was, like, safe to come back to church, right? Like, I mean, churches announced that, hey, we're having in-person services again, but, like, the churches were saying, yes, come to church, but the government and the state was like, well, we're still going to be kind of cautious, and we're still going to be kind of leery, and we're still going to make people wear masks and be, you know, be your, sorry, come at your own risk kind of thing. And it was kind of like a scare tactic. And I think that flies in the first part of it when none of us knew what the heck was going on. But then, you know, as time marched on, like, if you wanted to wear a mask, great. If you wanted to get vaccinated and get all your boosters, great. Like, people were still getting COVID, but people didn't know whether to come back to church or not, or to go to work or not. And people were, and, like, it's one of those things where people were just kind of scared to death, and they didn't know what to believe. And so it's no wonder folks didn't come back to church or know if they should come back to church. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And even just kind of looking at other, just some quotes from this article, one person wrote, especially with the COVID thing, like, I'm still shocked that the body of Christ was not more compassionate about ensuring COVID did not spread. And then the article says she doesn't know when or if she'll ever go back to church. But then you had another person say, the fact that it's just a fact of the matter that the whole pandemic was highly politicized. That rubbed people the wrong way.
Well, you throw an election in there too, like, all on top of it. Like,
Absolutely. This one person wrote, one person said some folks took a step back, and this is kind of goes back to the people who are very consistent with coming to church and were consistent in doing stuff. Some folks took a step back and said, I realized I was giving so much that I was burning out, and I actually enjoyed having a little bit more time on my hands. I understand that. I even experienced that too when I left, when I left the church I was pastoring at, it was nice. Hey, I don't have to go to church on a Sunday. I think the very first Sunday I did that after I left the church, very first Sunday, it was like opening day at King's Dominion, and me, my wife, and my kids went to an amusement park, and it felt weird. I mean, well, it felt weird. It's like, oh, it's a Sunday morning, I'm not in church. So there was kind of a weird thing happening. But at the same time, like, I was just enjoying time with my family. It's like, when's the last time that I took a Sunday where I could really just enjoy time with my family? Like really, I think ever since Laura and I got married, and especially when I started ministry, there was barely any Sundays except for when I was on vacation. But outside of vacation, there was like no Sundays where I just was able to just take time and hang out with my family, just like legitimately. So that I felt was odd too. And then this one was, and this one, right here, it said, and this is from a pastor in San Jose, California, wrote, we lost every young family in the church except mine. And it said the pandemic restrictions and the high cost of living made California unattractive for some young families. And though these families weren't unhappy with their church, the pastor feels like he paid a price. It was a kick in the gut. All the time connecting to them, integrating them into the church, and they all moved back to Boise. We had a lot of people move. So even just the idea of how this government, your state government, how they handled the COVID restrictions, and also the cost of living kind of made, a lot of young families going, well, you know what? Especially if they are in the healthcare field, or if they're like a IT person, or if they can like work remotely, it's like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and move somewhere else. I could still do my work, even though I live in don't live in the same state as my job. I can live some. I can go do my same work somewhere else remotely, and not have to pay
It'd be
the high
cheaper.
cost. It'll be cheaper, and don't have to pay the high cost of living. Which is funny because one of my friends who lives in King George, Virginia, is selling her house. And you look at it, have a lot of lands, have a wooded area. It's a 5-bedroom, 5-bath house, and it's on the market for about $600,000. And but then when I think about the house, the parsonage I'm living at now in Columbus, for a 1.5-bath, 3-bedroom, it's almost the same exact price. But I don't have a, but I barely have land. And I definitely don't have a wooded area. So it's stuff like that where you look at like, holy cow, like, someone can get a 5-bedroom, 5-bathroom house or a 1 or a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath house for the same price, just in different locations in different states. Like, that's mind-boggling to me. Because sometimes I'll look at houses, I'll see the price on them. I go, I would not pay that much money for that house. Absolutely not. And then there's other, I'll go, oh, I definitely would pay that much money for the house. If I had the money, I definitely would pay. I think that's a good, that's a fair price for that house. So it is like, and again, I think that's what makes it so hard about why people haven't come back to church post-pandemic, because there is a plethora of reasons, which most of those reasons are really no fault to the church leadership or the pastor. If you're someone who really connected with people and you did everything right and you did your best, people still left because whether you were doing what you were told for the pandemic, where you were not doing what you were told for the pandemic, whether you were reaching out to people and you really were caring for people during that time, or you just kind of ignored them, like you, whatever you did, there's still people who left your church. And I think that's kind of maybe the most frustrating part of this whole conversation is that nobody did anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, there may be a few who did some wrong things, but I think if you are a pastor who really cared and was really trying to do the right thing, I mean, you kind of paid the price and you're kind of going, well, was there something I said? Was there something I did? Was there something I could have done better? And the reality is no, like there isn't. Like you kind of did the best you can. So, yeah.
I think I was going to ask, like, where do you see the church now, 4 years later? Is it kind of the same? Do you see that grow, see it growing again? Do you see it being more of a hybrid option? Do you see it more, I don't know. Like, I'm wondering, where do we go from here, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. And my hunch is this. I mean, here's the thing, like what I have noticed for the last year I've been at church, I've seen some significant growth, and maybe not numerical growth, but I have been seeing significant growth where people are starting to get excited about being part of a spiritual community, being excited about being part of the church, and everything else. And I think because of that, I think we are going to start seeing kind of some church growth. And plus, I mean, the other thing we didn't talk about is we also have to think about jobs, right? Like, being in a big city, or at least especially living in the Columbus area, there's a lot of people, especially parents in my neighborhood, who work in the healthcare field. They're nurses, they're doctors. And during COVID, not only did you have a turnaround of probably people leaving the medical field because they're getting burnt out, but you had people who were just working longer days because they or people were understaffed, so people worked longer to kind of help make up everything. And I think with that aspect alone, now that things are progressively getting more, and we're not having as much of a shortage as a workforce shortage as we've had in the past couple of years, I think now people's schedules are kind of getting back into a balance where it's like, hey, I can actually say, hey, I can't work on Sundays because I want to go to church. And they can say, that's fine. Where I think a couple of years ago, it's like, I'm sorry, I know you want to go to church, but we really need you because we are short staffed and we need you to be here to help out. And some people are like, okay, well, that's what I'm going to have to do then. So I think we are seeing a shift. Now I think the other thing is because again we are in an election year again, and it looks like again this is going to be a very tense, probably explosive election like it was 4 years ago. The difference is we're not in the midst of a pandemic anymore. So I think how churches respond to how they respond or if they respond to political things that are happening in the world is also probably going to have an effect on if you are seeing some church growth, that that's going to still continue to grow, or if that's going to be continuing to be stifled, because that I think that was one of the big things that people did not like was the fact that people did not like how political some of the churches got. Even pastors who weren't very vocally politically were becoming very vocal politically during that season in 4 years ago. So I think that kind of is another factor that's going to have to play in too.
It's just fascinating. I mean, it really is. I think that so the church we went to yesterday, and we went to a couple of times, and I think we're going to land there for a while. I met with Pastor Tim last week, and he was telling me that, it's kind of ironic, but like we prayed for families, and he said the week before Easter, I think it was Palm Sunday, he said that they had five new families. And they had like 25 to 30 new people come on one Sunday, and they said like we've just started growing again, which has been he's like our attendance has been pretty consistent, but he said that we've actually just started growing as a church, and I think part of that is to do with like just being obedient to God's word and obedient to praying and obedient to seeking people. It is easy to throw on a live stream. It is easy to throw on a podcast. It is easy to, work around your schedule, so to speak. But strange thing for me is that, like, okay, the world quote unquote went back to normal, and they're going to their kids' soccer games, baseball games, football games. They're going to birthday parties, and they're going to dinner with friends, and they're going back to work in the office. But like when it came to church, why aren't folks going back? And so it, but like to your point, folks moved, folks changed jobs, the cost of living. Inflation, all those things play a factor in people's livelihoods. And so like if you're a small town, small town church in rural Northeast Ohio, for example, and you get a job to move to Tennessee where the economy is better, you're going to make more money, the cost of living is less, and you don't have to drive 45 minutes to an hour to Cleveland or whatever to work. Why wouldn't you? And so if the trend is that where a lot of people did that during pandemic or even now, I'm also a believer that people will, the church will grow in other ways too, right? Whether people have children, whether people have, new people come. It was just, I think it's just in a weird cycle. And I think I'm starting to see a lot of churches grow again. I've seen churches having to add services because they're growing again. I've seen churches have to plan additional campuses because they're growing again. Not discounting or dismissing the pandemic side of things, but I think people finally can breathe again and feel like they're somewhat back to normal and not have to live in fear of their lives. I don't know. I see a lot of growth potential moving forward.
Yeah, and I would agree with you, Michael. Like, I think we are starting to see a lot of growth, and not only growth as far as not only growth as far as more people coming to church, but I think just growth in the type of activities churches are doing, from services, what they're doing as far as doing community service or how they're helping people within their communities, but even
Well,
just,
and changing the way that they do church, like, and that's
yeah,
okay. Forcing their hand a little bit.
exactly. And even just kind of these opportunities where I think, hey, we could do more, or here's how we can improve upon certain things to really. And I think that's the big thing, is I think it's kind of now that the pandemic's over and saw how we were able to, for most churches, they're able to do new things to try to connect with people in their community for the kingdom of God. Like, and they realize, hey, doing something new,
It's
it's
okay.
not that scary. It's okay. So what other new things can we do? So I think it kind of even lit a fire for some churches who were kind of like, well, we can't do anything. We don't know if we can't really do this. We can't do that. We don't have the budget. We don't have the money. We don't have that. But then you realize, okay, well, now we have to make a sacrifice. We have to get a camera. We have to get streaming software. We have to get a computer that can handle all this stuff. And then you do it, and then all of a sudden you realize people are coming to church and they're saying, oh yeah, because we've been watching your live service for the last month or so. And then you realize, oh wow, like, okay, this is working. So what else can we do? We're just streaming on YouTube. What else can we do to get the stream on different platforms? What can we do some of this extra stuff? So I think it's gotten people a little more open to trying new ideas when they may have been resistant before the pandemic.
Yeah, would agree.
Yeah. All right. And friends, what do you guys think? I know this has been a interesting topic, but we want to know, like, what has been your experience? If you're a church leader, what have you been seeing since the pandemic? Have you seen kind of the drop, and you're starting to see that increase or that slow climb again of people starting to come back to church? Are you someone who notices that your regulars who always came, always did things, are just kind of non-existent? Whether they have not, you've never seen them, they never came back, they're gone, or maybe they have come back, but they're just not as involved as they used to be. Like, we would like to know what your thoughts are, what you're experiencing. If you were just a regular church goer and you stopped going to church because of maybe some of the reasons we talked about, like, maybe you could say, yeah, that's me. That's exactly me. I left because the church decided to close their doors. The church decided to stay open during the pandemic, and I didn't like that. Like, we want to hear from you too. So again, feel free to leave us a comment both on our YouTube channel, or you can email us at our website, vscottstemmon.com. Again, if you like this episode, feel free to give us a rating or share it with a friend. And we'll be back on with another episode. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Scott Semmon Podcast. The Scott Semmon Podcast is made possible by support from our listeners. We thank listeners like Patty and Scott, whose support goes to this podcast's continual growth and maintenance. If you want to support this podcast, you can do so in a number of ways. First, feel free to give us a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode and share it with your friends. If you'd like to financially support the Scott Semin Podcast, you can go to the website ko-fi.com/thescottseminpodcast. That website again is ko-fi.com/thescottseminpodcast. Thank you so much for listening.